CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. This is a time we set aside every weekday afternoon, live radio, to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events from a biblical perspective. What we hear in church, is it really God's word or the traditions of men? If you don't know the difference, hey, you might be doing things that really don't even matter. So anyway, give us a call, 8888. Ask CSN's toll free. We got some lines open. You're sure to get on if you jump on right now. Again, 8888 Ask CSN. And we'll do our very best to answer those questions for you. Joining me today, featured CSN speaker on the morning times here, a chosen generation, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Michael. Aloha to all listeners out there too. Great to be with you. Looking forward to the program. And, it's always a joy. I've been out, kind of out of commission here for about 2 weeks, and now I'm back on track, and it's great to be on with you and hearing all the great questions that come from the folks, and looking forward to God's blessings upon all. It's going to be a great time together.
Yeah, and I appreciate you being on CSN and sharing your words of encouragement with all of us in the morning times here on CSN and also on the weekends as well. And thank you, Daryl, for doing that, and look forward to seeing what great things God's doing. What you're teaching on this Sunday morning? What time of the service?
Oh, it's so exciting. We're going to be in the book of Revelation chapter 11 this Sunday morning, and looking forward to what God has in store for us. You know, it's partially a parenthetical chapter, which is giving you more details in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's going to be dealing with the rebuilding of the temple, also the two witnesses. And then, of course, the seventh trumpet will blow. So it's an exciting, exciting chapter. I love the book of Revelation, and I know you do too, Mike. And it's just a joy to preach and share God's word and about the past events, the present events, and the future events that our Lord has laid out for us to give us great comfort and strength and encouragement. So thank you for asking. Our services are at 8:30 and 10:30, by the way. If you're in the Hawaii area here on the island of Oahu, come join us. We'd love to see you folks. And it's always a joy, Mike, meeting the people that listen to the radio, though.
Yeah, amen.
Stay a little bit after and talk to us and stuff. It's a great time together.
Always. Chapter 11 is a very unique chapter, I think, in the Bible, because it deals with the third temple. Now, We know Herod's temple was torn down 70 AD and demolished to get the gold as it was lit on fire, and the hot gold ran into the cracks, and they ordered to extract the gold. They tore those stones down just as Jesus said it would happen. But what's so amazing to me, Daryl, is just it's only been in the last few years that chapter 11 would make any sense, because it says John is given a reed like a measuring tape, told to go measure the temple, but leave out the outer court. And here's what was so amazing. I missed this for so many years. It has been given to the Gentiles. Well, do you realize that for the last 2,800 years, the Gentiles always owned it? It was only since 1967 did Israel own both halves of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And so it was only then, because up to that time, it was part of Jordan. And so when they got the other half of the city, and that's where the Temple Mount is, he says, don't measure it. It has been given to the Gentiles. So that means that Israel had to own the Temple Mount again, but the outer court, in some kind of a deal, I believe, going back to Daniel 9, made with the Antichrist, there's some kind of deal where the Jew, the Christian, the Muslim can all dwell together in love on the Temple Mount. And thus, I think this is going to really cause the Antichrist to be this, so to speak, man of peace that the world's always been looking for.
Well, that's the whole thing. You go to Israel these days on tour. There have been few and far between since the war broke out, but you discover that the Jews, the religious Jews, are looking for that one who's going to permit them to build the temple in Jerusalem. And as that one does allow them to do that, they're going to see him as a savior, as a Messiah, as one who's getting them back to Jehovah God and so forth to worship him. And of course, the Bible, you have the Bible Institute, the Temple Institute there in Jerusalem. They've already have the plans, the elements that need to take place to put into place for the sacrifice. Everything's going to be taking place. And the Bible says that the Antichrist, at the end of 3.5 years after the temple's been rebuilt, he will come in and stop them from their sacrifices and offerings unto Yahweh. And he will then blaspheme Yahweh at the midway point of the tribulation period. He will blaspheme Yahweh. He's going to blaspheme the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And then he's going to institute the mark of the beast, which is your allegiance to Satan or your allegiance to the Antichrist. But he'll be a great deceiver, of course. So anyway, it's exciting times we're living in. And it's just, the Bible explodes off the page. It's just so thrilling to watch it just explode off the page with this truth, fulfilling Bible prophecy. All these things are taking place in these last days. It always says, in the latter days, in the last days, these things will take place. And Mike, I tell you what, if you're out there listening and you're a skeptic, stop being a skeptic out there, folks. You come to Christ today. Come pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Let him come into your heart. Let him save your life. He's going to give a heaven forever. And it's a glorious relationship with God once you become born again of the Holy Spirit. All your sins forgiven forever, and he's going to love you and cherish you and take care of you forever. Do it now. Do it now, my friend. If you're listening out there and you're not saved yet, do it now.
Amen.
Mike, back to you.
Amen. And so today is the appointed day of salvation.
Amen.
8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. If you want to be part of the program, let's go to the phones. Shannon on the line in Cottonwood, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Yes, I have two questions, please, if it's okay.
Sure.
My first one is, a lot of people was telling me that Jesus, that's not his name, it's Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up in the Greece, couldn't do the J's. But why is the Bible not say Yeshua then?
Because that's a transliteration, as we find, and depending on what language around the world you're going to be looking at, you'll find this is the same thing. Now, I've seen people get all hung up on this. There is only one name under heaven man can be saved, and that's the name of Jesus, or Yeshua, whichever, if you're in Hebrew, you can do that. It's the God's only begotten Son. That is what we look for. And I realize that there are people out there, and they've even said, well, unless you use the name Yahweh, God will not hear your prayers. That's about the most wacky stuff I've ever heard. Because Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father which art in heaven. Actually, we have a personal relationship with God. Now, if these different religions want to go around and be on a first name legal basis with God, I'd much rather be on a personal love relationship with God. Him is my Father. I'm his child. And again, I never in my entire life ever called my dad Mr. Kessler. I always call my dad, Dad. Always. Because I had a relationship. Now, other people who didn't have that relationship with him, well, they called him maybe by his first name. They may have even called him by his last name. But when you have a personal relationship with your God in heaven, with the Lord Jesus Christ, I love what Paul says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's what a child would cry out to their father, Daddy. That's what that means. And so I've seen these people do this, and it's really a shame because it kind of screams they really don't have a relationship with God. They have a legal relationship, but evidently there's something gone off where they don't have that personal part of God's heart, where Jesus said, I'll stick closer than a brother. And I don't believe that somebody that sticks closer than a brother would be highly offended if you called them by their English name versus their Jewish name. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. People get hung up. But, you know, God gave us all the languages of the world today at the Tower of Babel. They got split up with all the various languages. We have English. In the Greek is Iesus, Iesus in Greek is Jesus. English is Jesus. In Hebrew, as Mike just said, it's Yeshua. And if whatever language you do speak, you just call it according to that language. God speaks all languages, folks. He knows all things. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, Mike emphasized that beautiful relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, Abba Father, or Daddy. And it's a marvelous thing to see how Jesus has related to us as our Lord, as our Savior, as our Bridegroom. He's the Prince of Peace. He's also, you could say, if you want to say Hebrew, he's the Prince of Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace. He's beautiful. So, but these people get hung up on these things. They're straining at gnats, to be honest with you. And they think that makes them more spiritual if they say Yeshua or Yehoshua. And so that's it's not true. It's Jesus understands English. He understands Hebrew. He understands Greek. He understands Swahili. He understands every language of the world. And let's not get transfixed in something. So, as they say in Hawaiian, manini, that means small, very tiny. There's nothing wrong with just praying in the name of Jesus. Every name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. Hope that helps, Sharon. Now, you said you had Shannon, you said you had another question.
Yes, sir. This doesn't have anything to do with what I just asked, but I've never heard your opinion, and there's so many conspiracy theories, and I'm sorry, I really want to know your thoughts. Do you think that Tyler Robinson actually killed Charlie Kirk, or was it Israel?
I do not believe Israel killed Charlie Kirk. I have a very hard suspicion for that. There are so many people right now in the United States that are so violent towards Israel. As an example, Mandani, the mayor of New York, his words are no different than Iran's. I often wonder as I listen to him if he is not a plant because, you know, I'm going to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu as soon as he comes to New York. I'm going to, you know... and try him. The same exact thing Iran is saying. Why are we going over to Iran to get them there when they're running for public office here? I have a hard time understanding that. And then today they just released this fact. They said 1/3 of all Democrats identify with socialist communist. So this is a real problem, because when you really examine true socialism, true communism, Marxism, it is completely anti-God. There is no God. The state, the government is your God. You are a worker bee. Get in line. Do. And everywhere communism, socialism goes, it has impoverished the people. People say, well, what about China? Well, there it's a little bit different. There... you either work or you're executed. And that's a matter of fact, everybody. You see, there is no layabouts. There's no all these people sitting around dissing on their nation like we do here in America. Oh, no, you're labeled a traitor, and you're whisked away forever in some prison or executed. Same way it is in Russia. You got to remember, when Joseph Stalin took over Russia, he murdered 15 fellow Russian people to establish what he was doing. People, I shared this yesterday, but people always diss on Adolf Hitler. Yeah, he was a bad dude, but nothing compared to Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong, who murdered 50 million Chinese. You see, you're either communist or you're executed. And I really believe that with what we see in the world right now, Charlie Kirk was not down on Israel, and nothing compared to look at what we see from so much of the Democratic Party, that they anti-Semitic running wild. Probably not this much anti-Semitism since the Nazi Party. They always call President Trump a Nazi, but. It's the Democratic Party that hates Israel. And this is a real problem. That was Hitler's I think number one calling card was to destroy Jews. And when you see them support the Palestinian, the pro-Palestinian rallies, and from the mountains to the sea, scrape Israel off, there's your real Nazis, friend. And that's what real history is, not this stuff that our American news media tries to dish out in the name of truth. Your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting. Charlie Kirk was a very good friend of President Trump, and President Trump is a very good friend of Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel. And he's fighting the good fight against Iran right now, the Shiite Muslims who hate Israel, and they cry death to America, death to Israel, and so forth. They want to destroy them. And so as you look at the evidence thereof, you'd say, no, what interest would Israel have in having Charlie Kirk killed? That makes no sense whatsoever. Tyler Robertson appears to be the one who pulled the trigger. Time will only tell in the judgment of the courts. And so, but as Mike, as you were just sharing about Israel, God says, I'll bless the nation that blesses thee, I'll curse the nation that curses thee. When we look at past administrations, such as the Obama administration, the Biden administration, where were they sending billions of dollars to? To Iran. Why were they doing that? Why would you send billions of dollars to a terrorist organization who has Hezbollah, Hamas, and has killed so many Americans over 47 years and so forth? All these things are taking place. Why are the Democrats doing that? Because they play the game, they're for Israel, but they're really not for Israel. But what we see with Donald Trump and the administration of the Republican Party, we are for Israel, and I pray we never leave that aspect of being for Israel, because as I said before, God says, I'll bless the nation that blesses Israel. I'm going to curse the nation that curses Israel. And what has happened to all the leaders in Iran? They're dead. Two layers of them are dead. What about Saddam Hussein? He's dead, and so forth. The leader of Iraq, and then anybody that's ever come against. Where's Hitler? He's dead. Everybody comes against Israel, God's going to take him out, because God has his chosen people that he's decided to bring back to the land, as he's prophesied what he would do. And we're going to see a lot of Jews saved in the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation. God is going to anoint and seal 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe, and they're going to be preaching that Jesus is Yeshua HaMashiach, meaning Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior of their souls. Come to faith in him and be saved. And that's what's going to happen in the tribulation period. The gospel went to the Jew first, then to the Greek or the Gentile, and it's still going out there to all people of the whole world. And God loves his people. He's not going to forsake them. He just won't do it. Unfortunately, most of the Jews are not saved. But there'll be a tremendous outpouring of the Spirit, tremendous salvation in the tribulation period, and God's going to protect his people. So exciting stuff is ahead, but there's just Jew haters out there. I'll be honest with you. They're just out there. They're anti-Semites, and they come up with all these crazy stories about conspiracies and so forth. I just shared Shannon, and we must not follow them nor believe them. What's sad to me is this, Mike, and all the listeners out there. If you keep filling your mind with this stuff over and over and over again, keep listening to the same circular reasoning that they have, it's like a dog chasing its tail, of course, you get brainwashed if you don't know the scriptures. If you know the scriptures, you won't get brainwashed, but you've got to know the scriptures and what it says about salvation, about Israel, about God's dealing with Israel, what he's going to do with them in the future also. Mike, I'll give it back
to you. Yeah, and it's prophetic, so everyone would know if you read the Bible, God is not done with the nation of Israel yet, which shows the Bible is authentic. No other religious books in the world have prophecy in them because they're immediately found to be fraud. They don't put prophecy in their Bible. But when you stop to think, one-third of the Bible is prophecy, and two-thirds of those prophecies have come true, and the Bible says in the last days, Israel will be in possession of Jerusalem again, a sovereign nation, Luke chapter 21, you would think the world would look at that and say, wow, look, the Bible is true. But instead, they hate God, they hate Israel, and unfortunately, because they're blind, there's a tremendous price, unfortunately, they're going to pay in the last days. Shannon, I hope that helps.
Yes, I'm for Israel. And a lot of people say, well, the people is old Israel. It's not the new people of Israel now are different from when God was defending them. I'm like, no, it says in the Bible, you stand with Israel. Those are God's chosen people, and it doesn't matter. So, yes, thank you. No, I stand for Israel. I was just curious what you thought.
Shannon, it's the same descendants. They're in Israel, speaking Hebrew, in their own Christ-rejecting way, honoring the Sabbath. They have Sabbath elevators as an example, whereby you pushing a button on the Sabbath for the 30th floor in a motel, that's work. So Sabbath elevators stop at every floor. They still retain the Old Testament because they rejected their Messiah that would have given the freedom that they needed. But see, again, whenever we try to go to heaven based on our performance, look, I kept the law. Moses said, our father Abraham said, as they would always quote to Jesus, you're approaching God in your own righteousness, not in God's. The Bible says if you err in one area of the Old Testament, you err in all of it. It isn't just the Ten Commandments. It's the 637 other commandments in the Old Testament as well. But Jesus said, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself, for upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Man, talk about freeing up. Wow, that's amazing. And so, Shannon, I hope that answers it for you. And God bless you, dear. So glad you called.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Monty in, oh my goodness, I can't read it. Washington. Okay, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi. You hear me?
Yes. How may we help?
Hi, pastors. I just was thinking about it, and I was wondering, there's a judgment seat of Christ, and then there's the great white throne judgment, and then there's all the people who are saved in the tribulation and during the thousand-year millennium. Where is their judgment seat of Christ?
Okay, your thoughts.
Well, we'll be, when we go to heaven in the rapture of the church, very likely because we're the bride of Christ, we'll go to the Bema seat of Christ, which is not a judgment of our sins, but rather it's a place of reward for all that you did in the name of the Lord, because all of our sins have been judged at the cross of Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us as he gave his blood for our redemption and atonement. We've been completely forgiven, past, present, and future sins. And we'll be glorified in heaven. And everything we did in the name of Jesus, with the right intentions to glorify God, to glorify Jesus, will be rewarded for. Everything that we didn't do and with the right intentions, the Bible says it'll be burned up. It's going to be just cast away. So if it's for self-glory, it'll be burned up. If it's for his glory, it'll be a reward. And so it's important for us Christians to realize what God has given us, that he's given us the great salvation of his son, the gift of God, which is Jesus, and then the gift of salvation, then the gift of the Holy Spirit that's in us and through us. And he wants us to do as much good as we possibly can as a testimony of his love and of his grace and of his tender mercies. And that salvation is found in Christ. Now, on the other hand, you have the judgment of the great white throne, and that's the place where all non-believers will be judged for their sins. The Bible says books will be open, and there's a book on every non-believer's life. It's like your computer has a random access memory. It's all in the file, every sin they've ever committed, every time they rejected Jesus Christ, every time they cursed the name of God, everything is listed there, and they'll be receiving that much more judgment upon themselves as they're cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is worse enough, but then there's a building up of more judgment because of the sins that people commit in this life, and then they head off to the place of outer darkness, a place of weeping, gnashing of teeth, a place of burning. It's a lake of fire, it's constant torment, and yet it's absolutely dark. It's just a horrific place. Nobody should want to go there by any means. There's no parties in hell, and you come to Christ, and you're going to receive his salvation, and you're going to be headed to heaven, and then ultimately we'll find ourselves at the new heavens, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And always, everything that we experience today on this earth that is so marvelous, I always tell people, multiply by about a billion trillion, something like that. It's probably going to be like that when we find ourselves in glory. So, Micah, give it over to you.
So, amen. I hope that answers it for you.
Well, I was just wondering, the judgment seat of Christ, where it's rewards, lack of rewards, that happens at the rapture, right?
I believe that happens at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think this is part of what Jesus talked about. Those have been faithful over little will be faithful over much. The man that went out, you know, with 10 talents, went out and made 10 more. He made him rule over 10 cities. I think this is part of the reward system of Christ. And so that, I believe, will be there. And I also believe those that are martyred during the tribulation period will also rule and reign with Christ. Now, how they're appointed for their position, I'm not exactly sure, because I believe it's sometime, the marriage supper of the Lamb is sometime during those 7 years while the earth is going through their hell. We'll be in heaven at one of the greatest parties ever in the history of the world. So I believe it could be towards the end, perhaps, of the 7 years. And this is where the rewards will be handed out. People will get their position. Now, those that live during the millennial reign of Christ, believers as well as non-believers, when they die, I believe this is the only place in the Bible where it says they do not live again until the books are open. In other words, a Christian during the millennial reign of Christ doesn't die and then pop back out of the ground and start ruling and reigning with Christ. We don't find that anywhere in the scripture. I believe that they probably don't live again, as the Bible says, until the books are open. Everybody's name that is not found written in the book of life, including those that live during the millennial reign of Christ, are cast in the lake of fire that burns forever. And the Bible tells us in the book of Jude that it burns, they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. So any religion that says, oh, hell's not eternal, it's a flash in the pan, or it doesn't even exist, it was just there to scare you, well, they're not reading the Bible, because Jude's very clear about this. Monty, we're going to pick this up on the other side, because I do believe it's so important. Coming up on that break, and we'll be right back.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
I want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. He's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel there in Honolulu, Hawaii, actually Pearl Harbor, which is just right next to Honolulu. And I know Daryl would love to see you in church on Sunday. If you're in the Honolulu area, be sure to stop by his church. I think you'll really be blessed as he studies there in the book of Revelation chapter 11. If you're in the southern Idaho area, we'd love to see you here at the River Christian Fellowship. Starts at 10 o'clock, and we're going to be looking at the importance of being thankful. Not just something we do at Thanksgiving, but something we do every day because we're believers in Christ. As the old adage goes, if you're not thankful for what you have, you won't be thankful for what you get. We're going to be talking about that very important part of our Christian life this Sunday, 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on all the CSN radio stations, and of course around the world on the internet. Just adjust your time for Mountain Time, Daylight Savings Time, and you'll be able to pick us up there. And I don't know if I told you this, Daryl. We have we're over 700,000 people that listen to us on the internet outside the United States now. And many of them are
fabulous
Iron Curtain countries. And so where God's word is not allowed to be preached. And so I'm just very grateful for all the things that all of us here at CSN, all of you listening, praying for us, supporting us. Thank you, all of you, for what we do. We could never do it individually, but together we can make a difference in this world, and that's what we want to do. Now, we went to the break. We were speaking with Monty. And again, I think it's really important that as we understand that when a person dies, it doesn't stop the wickedness that they set in motion. You think of somebody that started a cult. Maybe there was only a couple dozen people at the time. Now there's millions. Yes, just because a person dies does not stop the wickedness that they put in motion. This is why the great white throne judgment is at the end of all time, at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. Yes, when a person dies right now, they go to Sheol, but their works are not full yet. They haven't come to full fruition yet. By the end of the millennial reign of Christ, everything will be made accounted for and everybody will be judged, it says, according to their works. Now, if you're a believer, Jesus has taken your judgment. Friends, that's the most wonderful news I could ever share with anybody. That's what the gospel is. The word gospel means good news. And so we know we get to go to heaven. Now, yes, there is a reward seat for the things that were done for Christ with the right motive. The wood, the hay, the stubble, the Bible says is going to burn up. The precious things that remain, those are going to carry a reward. And the Bible says even a cup of cold water in his name bears a reward. So it isn't in the magnitude of what we do, but it's in the obedience of what we do where we get these rewards. And God says, because you have been faithful over little, I'll make you faithful over much. Jesus clearly told us, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. If it doesn't matter, if you just, if I just get there by the skin of my teeth, I'll be happy. Well, you may not care about rewards today, but you will be when you get there, and you'll be glad you're getting some. And I believe part of pastor's responsibility and a church's responsibility is to equip their people in their church to get the maximum amount of rewards they can. In other words, to teach them God's word, to purify the motives of why we do things and the things that please God and the things that doesn't please God so that we'll get those rewards. Because we do know there is a judgment coming. And again, judgments are not always bad. You get a call from a lawyer and says, your Uncle Fred died. Come down here to the office Monday morning. There's a judgment made in your favor. You were in the will. That's a good judgment. On the other hand, those that have been in rebellion to God and those judgments are against his word, that sin, that unrepented heart is what will cause us to be eternally separated from God. It's not hard. The Bible's not hard to understand. We are people. We make choices. We can either have our sins forgiven by asking, or we can stand in our rebellion towards God and die in our sins. And that's not a place you want to be. Any final thoughts, Daryl?
Well, I agree with you, Mike. And it's so important as believers that we see what God wants to do with us. He wants to use our lives for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. And the Bible says that Jesus will complete the work in us until that glorious day. So the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto thee. And it's important for us. It's amazing to me, Mike, and all the listeners out there. God gave his son. Jesus gave his life. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the word of God. And he gives us the opportunity to serve him and to honor him. And then he's going to reward us. He deserves all the rewards. He did it all. And that's the most amazing thing about our Lord and our Savior Jesus. He is full of so much love and grace and tender mercies, folks. Always remember, my friends, his mercies are truly new every morning. Every morning. Amen. Don't ever condemn yourself. God loves you. He just wants to change you. Let him keep changing you for the better. And let him use your life, and he'll bless you mightily and abundantly. Mike, I'll give it back
to you. Amen. Monty, I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Monty, stay online. If you like, send you out a little book called Time to Grow. It's a good little book. If you need more, let me know. Great for evangelism. And thanks so much for the call.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Monty. Thanks so much for the call. We're here for you if you need us. Let's go to Terry, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hey, I've been wanting to ask this question for so long. Jesus says, whatever you do in my name, you do unto me. And I've heard you mention that too, Pastor Mike, many times. Whatever you do in Jesus' name, well, how do you play that out practically? Like if you give food to the food bank or you open up a door for someone struggling, I still want to bring Jesus into it, but I don't know how. So could you explain how to do that practically? And I'm going to hang up and listen to you on the radio. Is that okay?
Sure, you can do that. And I thank you, Terry, because it kind of goes along with our last question.
I was noticing that too.
Yeah, I think this is very good. What does it mean, as an example, a cup of cold water in his name? What does that mean? That means we're doing it with the right motive. You know, there's a lot of things that we, even as Christians, can do to be seen of men. Oh, the applause. And as the offering plate goes by, the person reaches in their wallet. And before they drop the $100 bill into the offering plate, they wiggle it around in the air and then drop it in. That's where you get your reward right there. You see, the Bible says whatever you do when you pray, as an example, you go into the closet, close the door, and God who sees in secret will reward us openly. And I believe that it is important, as you said, dear, to give God the glory. And if you open the door for somebody, and you open it for them, they can't open the door themselves for whatever reason, and they say, well, thank you. Just say, well, God bless you. I'm glad I could do that for you. You see, I believe that as long as we continue to give glory to God in no matter what we do with the right heart, I think that carries an eternal reward. But it also, my hands, your hands, our feet, where we go, is like Jesus going there as well. Would Jesus open the door for somebody in a wheelchair? Well, sure he would. Would Jesus give somebody a cup of cold water if he knew they were thirsty? And I don't mean that you're walking through the Sahara Desert. I mean, I think that's whatever it might be. You know, we just did Good Neighbor Days over in Kimberly, Idaho. And we had a Jeep and we had some stuff fixed up and we went through the streets and we were giving kids candy. But we also had water there. And I remember one of the girls that was walking alongside the Jeep that was handing out the candy, she reached in the ice chest, reached and got a big bottle of water. And there was a local sheriff, you know, one of the police, on a motorcycle there because they'd closed the road for the parade. And she ran over and gave him a bottle of water. And he goes, whoa, thank you. And so I think that when we do things like that, it shows love and it shows concern for others. Now, am I saying every bottle of water has to say Jesus loves you on it? No, but I believe as long as they realize you're doing this for the glory of God, I think that carries a tremendous testimony. Your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's so many opportunities that God brings our way to testify of his love. You know, the Bible says, Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself, right? The second commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, the first commandment. Then love your neighbor as yourself. And so as you're loving your neighbor, you're now expressing Jesus Christ to others. whether it be in being humble before them, being truthful before them, whether it be doing the right things before them, whatever the case might be, whatever's coming across your path. And who's your neighbor? Everybody in the world's our neighbor, right? We want to reach out to all people in the love of Jesus. It's not being snarky with them or belittling them or, you know, contentious with them or critical of them. But we want to be encouragers like a Barnabas. We want to be those who are peacemakers. We want to be those who are just there to help those who are downhearted and lift them up and so forth. If maybe there's a neighbor that's elderly and they just can't mow their lawn anymore. So, you know, I'm going to go over there and mow their lawn. And, you know, inevitably, you always get to share Jesus with people. Share God bless you, something like that, and so on. And they see the good works. People, Jesus says, they'll know me by the good works that you're performing for others. We have these good works that we do, and it's a great blessing to others. And in the process, we have an opportunity to hopefully share our faith and share the love of God with them. We have to be in their face by any means, but, you know, really so many times our actions speak louder than our words. And, you know, as a church body, we're involved in various organizations that are doing great work, such as Operation Christmas Child with the Samaritan's Purse and so forth, the Franklin Graham organization, and reaching out to all thousands of young kids with these shoeboxes as gifts with a little gospel track in there and so forth. That's a good work. And then there's other ministries you may support that's doing an orphanage or a little makeshift hospital someplace or a full-blown hospital for that matter to help people. There's times where we've been involved in having wells dug to get it in a region where there's no pure drinking water. They have to walk for miles to get their water, but we get the well dug, and all of a sudden they've got this spring of water. And the missionaries over there in India, this is where this took place, the people come to get the water, and they start sharing the living water with them, which is Jesus. And so there's a variety of all kinds of good works. And I believe, Mike, I know you do too, is, you know, if you pray in the morning as you get up and say, Lord, this is your day. However you want to use me for your glory, honor, and praise, let it be known. And God will provide the people coming across your path, and you're going to be able to touch a heart or many hearts that day as God just reveals his will to you and for you and through you for the glory of his of who he is and what he does and how his love is there. So anyway, exciting stuff. I love it. Great question. And Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. I think that that's important. So the Bible says whatever we do unto the glory of God. And I want people to see Jesus. I don't want them to see me. I'm a goofball. you know, I can tell people we're all bozos on this bus.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is true. The only good thing about me, anything good about any of us, is Jesus. Because we know what we were before Christ got a hold of our lives, before we really dedicated our lives to Christ. And so it isn't look at me, it's that go to God's word, go to Jesus, pray daily, seek his face, ask him for his will for your life. That's what makes the difference. And so when you open the door for somebody and they say thank you, just say God bless you. And sometimes they might say, well, God bless you too, and just say, Jesus really loves you. See, then you have a conversation. You know, I have found, and I was talking with a dear friend, Jeff Smith, Chuck Smith's son. We're pretty close friends, and we talk a lot. And, you know, he said, you know, Mike, he said, I think the days of the sandwich sign and the bullhorn are over, where you're walking down a beach and repent or perish. I saw this when I lived in Southern California. Down at Newport Beach, it was a guy that had a sandwich sign around his neck. On one side, it said, repent, sinners, turn or burn on it. And then there was a couple laying on a blanket, and he walked up to them with this megaphone, and he was just screaming at them. And I go, God, this is awful. This isn't you. I'm not so sure maybe that guy wasn't from the underworld doing that, honestly, because it's everything Jesus isn't. But, you know, one of the things that I do find is that if we'll sit down and talk to somebody and earn the right to tell them about the Lord, I think that we can get a long way that way. So whether it's opening the door for somebody or seeing somebody with their face in their hands sitting on a park bench and, well, hey, how you doing? Oh, not so good. Well, what's wrong? Oh, I just got all kinds of, and you begin a conversation with them. Man, people are looking for answers. They're desperate. Mm-hmm. This world has no answers. We look at the world right now and the condition that it's in. You have Iran, the number one exporter of terrorism globally, trying to develop a nuclear weapon, and they have declared war on the United States many years ago. Death to America. Again, not from a mullah, excuse me, not from some kid in the closet in Iran. This is from their leadership. This is from their president saying death to America. Friends, that's a declaration of war. Now, if you're a Democrat, I don't know what you think that is, because they said, well, they're a peaceful nation. No, they're not in any way, shape, or form. They have done more damage to American bases, to the whole destabilization of the Middle East. Why? Well, they produce oil, and if we can take out Saudi Arabia, if we can take out Kuwait, then we'll be the top dogs. That's the whole game. And as they built up money, and as they believe when the 12th Imam comes, the Islamic Caliphate will come back and take over the world. Because you see, Islam is not a religion, it's global dominance. And people don't understand that. It isn't like Christianity or Buddhism or Shintoism. No, we tell people love one another, but not them. No, it's okay to lie to the infidel. See, I just read a news story. Trump was cussing mad at Iran. Well, yeah, because every time they make a treaty with the United States, they break it. But that's within the laws of the Quran. You can lie to the infidel, the Quran tells you. So promise them whatever you want to promise them, but do what we're going to do. And that's to institute Sharia law globally, which is 100% contrary to the Constitution. So you have to understand there is more here than just Islam or whatever. It is global dominance. And for some reason, I don't know why they don't understand this. If they would spend any time at all and look at the Quran, they would realize, hey, this is a manual to take over the world forcefully. Christianity doesn't do that. The Bible says to love one another, reach out, be good to one another. That's what Christianity is. So it's a big difference. Your thoughts on this, Daryl, because I think there's a lot of confusion with this. Because we all serve the same God. No, we don't.
No, we don't. You know, Mike, as you've been sharing, and it's so vitally important for everyone to understand, there is wickedness in the world. There's evil in the world. There's people who want the destruction of others that don't believe their way. And they're into power. They're into control. They're into corruption. They'll do anything they can to gain that power, to gain that control over others, to have others subservient unto them. And this is why we as America, the USA, just celebrate our 250th anniversary. We have a Declaration of Independence, and we have a Constitution, and we are one nation under God, and that's the God of Israel, the God that is the God that gave us Jesus Christ, that produced what we call the Christian faith. It's the Judeo-Christian faith, you might say, but it's what we are and who we are. And we're not here to conquer the world. We just want to do our best in this world in which we live. But Islam, on the other hand, their whole goal is conquest and to make others subservient unto them, to enslave others and have their own dictatorships. That's why you see in these various countries in the Middle East, they've got dictators. They don't have free elections. They have dictators, whether it be Shia Muslims or their Sunni Muslims. Now, the Sunnis are much more laid back, I guess you might say, compared to the Shiites. Shiite is Iran. They want to conquer the world and so forth. And they understand that the Shiite Muslim only understands one thing, and that's power. And we're displaying to them great power, and we're taking away their strength, their weaponry, because they want to use their weaponry for evil. I remember just about a year ago, there was, 300 missiles coming into Israel, probably less than that, about 8 months ago. 300 missiles were coming into Israel, and fortunately Israel had all of its David sling and other things that they shot all those missiles out of the sky, most of them. So it was a tremendous battle, but they were hoping they could destroy all the civilians in Israel and everybody there. But that wasn't going to happen, because God's plan is enduring for the nation of Israel. They truly are his chosen people. And for us as Americans, we have to realize, what does the scripture say to do with our Jewish brethren? We're to lead them to Christ, do our best to lead them to Christ. What do we do with our Gentile brethren? Lead them to Christ.
Amen.
Get them to get saved. You're planting seeds, you're watering seeds, and you're harvesting seeds. Michael, give it back to you.
Yeah, and so we have to be, we have to just once again pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says to do.
Amen.
Be careful of any church that's into what's called replacement theology. Israel was destroyed in 70 AD. Now all the promises just apply to the church. God has no more to do with Israel than he does with Mexico. This kind of rhetoric is absolutely a lie. And you have to understand it. Israel is a big time end time player. And it's God's time clock. It tells us globally where we're at on God's master timepiece. And that's why we need to be very much aware of what's going on. Luke chapter 21, read it. Jesus said, the generation that sees Jerusalem under Jewish control will not pass away till all the things concerning the Bible, end times, everything is fulfilled. Friends, we are there. I just read a story. I just heard the story on I believe it was Fox News. They said that China is now arming Iran with shipments of surface-to-air missiles now. And so the idea of this spreading globally now and turning into something much larger is very real. Also, this just came in. They said a Russian bomb went off in Poland, now further escalating that theater as well. So, you know, the Bible says there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences. That means problems with no way out, confronting the nations. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And I look right now globally, I see instability everywhere. And if it isn't instability in the military world, it's instability in the financial world. America, almost $40 trillion in debt. This can never be repaid, everybody. When you look at all this vote for me, everything is free that you're getting from the Democrat, Socialist, Communist Party now. Who's going to pay for this? Well, we're just going to tax the billionaires. Well, there's not that many billionaires in the world. And when their money's gone, then what are you going to do? Because you see, a billionaire is not a trillionaire. And even if you had a trillionaire, we're in this nation $40 trillion in debt. So you can tax every single person into oblivion and it will not pay off the national debt. You see, we are in a global crisis. And Jesus said, when you see this, look up. I'm not telling you these things to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm telling you these things, these are the signs of the end. This is the signs of man's futile efforts to govern himself are almost over. The Bible says concerning the seven-year tribulation period in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. Do you realize the seven-year tribulation period really should have gone a whole lot longer? Certainly man in his rebellion deserves it. But because man has the capability of destroying himself off this planet, God had to intervene in 7 years, or man would have completely annihilated himself. Friends, we are at a real important time. We had a caller ask the question, is it okay for a person? I'm going to read the question. I'm sorry he couldn't stay with us. I'm looking for it here. I'm going to get to it. Roger from Las Vegas, is it okay for Christians to participate in a union strike? Daryl, we have about a minute. Your thoughts?
I was part of a union when I was young, and I think if you have a legitimate argument for the strike, it's between you and the Lord. You can decide if you want to participate or not. If you think it's illegitimate, then I would say no, don't participate in the strike. The union, sometimes the union bosses are very greedy, and that can happen. And you got to decide what does the Lord want you to do as a testimony of God's love for others, whether it be the management or it be the union itself and fellow employees, and see which way you're gonna fall. If people are being taken advantage of. There's nothing wrong with a strike. But if they're not, and it's just more greed, well, that's another issue. Mike?
Well, and I think you have to find out what the strike is over. Because if they're trying to initialize something within the union that is anti-biblical, then I would say I in no way would stand for that. I wouldn't want to be numbered with those people trying to do something to institute some kind of a law into the union that is prohibited in God's word. So I think you got to look at it. But, you know, if it's being fair to people and those kinds of things, that's between you and the Lord. And again, the Bible doesn't prohibit it, is what I guess I'm saying. So hope that answers it for you. We're all out of time. Daryl, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on CSN. And until tomorrow, may the Lord keep you in his love. God bless you. And good night.
Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.